Well, the people who couldn't get themselves out of bed this morning are really going to miss out. First up today, we have Scream, presented by Mike Leahy, which is an audio presentation and is the reason for all these speakers and this strange chair setup we have right now. So Mike is going to talk and explain what he's doing for 15 minutes, and then he will do a demo for 15 minutes, at which point we encourage you to go stand in the middle to get the optimal audio experience during the demonstration, which I believe will be live DJing. And once that's done, we'll go to Q&A, and then the next presentation will be up. So here is Mike. As soon as I get him the microphone.
Glad you guys can make it out. As you can see, I have a pretty interesting setup here. My project, I'm using an audio engine called Super Collider 3, and my initial goal with Super Collider 3 is to create new audio tools for studio, live performance, and sound installations. Super Collider 3 is open source since 2002. Previously, the two other incarnations were closed source and were sold for a small fee. But the recent one has a pretty active but small community. There's some really good email lists, and there's probably like 30, 40 posts a day on the development lists, and you know, lots happening with this community. Super Collider, it's one of the most advanced real-time audio systems available today, really. But it's not really aimed at like the hobbyist or typical musician. You have to be a programmer to use it at this point. Most people use... It comes with a language that's based off Smalltalk. And if you're familiar with Perl, I mean, I have background in Perl and Java. And it's really easy to learn the Super Collider language if you have a programming background. However, musicians, you know, that's quite a step beyond, more or less. So the user community is still pretty small. But with Scream, I hope to be able to make applications just like normal audio software that has an alternative interface, a really good GUI interface, that, you know, hides all the underlying interaction with the audio engine. And actually, I have some slides here, too. So yeah, live... Okay, great, it's going on automatic. That was Burning Man. All right, looks like it's working now. Yeah, live performance, real-time application, and I'm doing Scream in Java. And Java really hasn't been like associated with anything real-time, but with like the latest JDK 1.4 and the upcoming 1.5 JDK, there's a lot of enhancements that really allow you to take it close to real-time. And performance is not too much of a hit. Another reason for choosing Java to create Scream is just I have pretty much experience with it since 96. So it's a very familiar language, and it's very easy to write a lot of code quickly that is relatively bug-free. Some of the applications I've created with Scream so far are a granular sampler, tools for ambisonic spatialization, and then combining both of those tools to what I'm calling the ambigranu sampler. I'll be debuting for the AmbiGrande sampler for the first time. I haven't even heard it on an audio system yet. I don't have a surround system in my development environment. The granular sampler takes its name from a technique called granular synthesis. You're able to play back a sample forwards or backwards at a user-selected speed and offset into the sample. The granular aspect comes from being able to set an envelope on the sample with a very short length. When triggered rapidly in succession with a small envelope, it is possible to recreate asynchronous or synchronous granular synthesis. I know some of the terms I might be using are a little bit unfamiliar if you're not familiar with computer music, but I'll try to explain stuff, and if you have any questions, definitely come up afterwards, and I'd be glad to give any further explanations. The ambisonic spatializer I'm using is the first order unit generator that is currently available in SuperCollider. I'll actually be creating further second order and third order plugins for SuperCollider to extend the ambisonic capability. Right now it's just on a 2D plane, but you can do full 3D spatialization with like a 3D array. And I'm allied with a studio here in San Francisco called Asphodel, which maybe some of you know. They supported the Ilbient Scene, DJ Spooky, Mixmaster Mike, some really big names. They have a 16.8 sound system. It's pretty nutty. There was a show there last night and two coming up on the following weekends. So if you guys are in the San Francisco area, get in touch with me and I'll give you some info on that. It's something to check out. Ambisonic spatialization, though, it's been around since the 70s, the theory has. Unfortunately, it kind of came out like right after the whole quadraphonic deal, and that, unfortunately, was a commercial failure. And although ambisonic spatialization is superior technology, it just wasn't adopted commercially, and it's now just becoming really capable to do it with computers and DSP. And where Scream has been so far, I hooked up with this collective called Soul System about 30 days before Burning Man last year. It was pretty trippy. They were bringing out this large sound array, 8-point sound array, and each point is a 10-foot by 5-foot stack of speakers there and set on a 120-foot diameter circle. And they didn't have any software to do spatialization on it. So luckily I ran into them, and pretty much I got the first prototype of what I'll be showing today done, like barely finished 2 days before going, and spent like an 18-hour day before Burning Man. Didn't even know, had no clue, just went up there, got stuff on the way, and it was pretty crazy technical experience. Big piece of gear of mine also went down, and I had to work around that, so that was something. They were supposed to build enclosures for my gear, too, and they didn't, but it was all rental gear. Like, I didn't bring my computers out there. You can see a bike leaning against the speaker stack here, and a person. So this is a pretty huge effort. Unfortunately, they had like 99% DJs booked on the rig, so there was only a limited amount of spatialization we really could do with that. They had a 4-channel Vestax mixer, so I could place the 4 channels in the field and maybe even rotate it around a little bit, but without live performers. And we grabbed a couple. It was pretty interesting. One guy had like a rocket. It was like a rocket engine metal contraption, all contact mic'd, and he was banging on it, and we had like 8 different channels from him sending it on trajectories there, and like an abstract guitarist going along with it during a dust storm. So it was something. And I really hope they're going to be doing this again. Some momentum is beginning to form around Soul System again. And this year I've been working on it full time since then, about 60, 70 hours a week. So it's definitely going to be ready to go. Now, when I originally planned on starting Scream, I just wanted to create a framework to use SuperCollider 3. And so far, it's a pretty big success. I've got over a lot of the technical hurdles with Java and with creating a pretty close to real-time system. I mean, what now? I extended my focus. I mean, I don't just want to create audio software. It's a pretty small market. There's a definite possibility of creating a multimedia distribution for Java. Right there, right now, there really isn't any multimedia distribution, and audio is completely lacking. Java Sound, whatever, you know, they'll get around to it maybe at some point. With 1.5, they finally fixed MIDI. MIDI will actually work on all systems, which hasn't worked until now. There's a big workaround of that. I've created a custom graphics library based on Java 2D and hardware acceleration. I'm not using Swing for real time, at least the real time components, as it's just not capable. Also, there's a custom event system underneath, and I'm now using Joggle, which is an OpenGL binding that's Sun supported, and it's pretty hot actually. There's other ones, if you're more familiar with Java 3D in the scene graph format, there's Zith, and there's one coming out, GIST 3D, that looks pretty promising. For physics, there's the Java ODE bindings, Open Dynamics Engine. It's an open source project, and there's a really good binding now that Yanni Lasko in the Java games community is working on. For audio, that's all my work. It's the core work with Scream and Super Collider 3. For an AI engine, I'm very interested in using the Symbionic engine. It just came out 2 weeks ago. I just got the evaluation and integrated it within Scream, and it works great. So for AI, that looks like it's a definite possibility. Networking, I'm looking to do like the MOGS, massively multiplayer online game type stuff. And there's the Grex engine. I mean, that's a commercial library, so is Symbionic. The other ones are open source. Plugin engine, a generic plugin engine. Looks like it's a really good open source project to create a plugin model for Java that's really extensible and easy to use. My whole Scream is completely component-oriented, very modular. The next stage after that, though, leveraging the music technology and the spatialization technology for games, creating games and simulations, I really want to create like advanced audio tools for film and post-production, which is... if anybody's familiar with how they're doing a lot of the 3D graphics for movies now, Matrix, whatever, they're creating full 3D scenes from the film that they shoot, and all that control data, all that data could be used for audio spatialization in real time, pretty much. And I'm very interested in creating a system that would be capable of even implementing like a physics system where, say, you had a Civil War battlefield and you had, multiple cameras on the field, and when people are shooting because, they have fake charges in their guns and everything, but then you could use a physics system to simulate where all the bullets are going and use that for spatialization data with the audio. And another neat thing is that I'm using a real-time audio engine. You don't have to use pre-recorded sounds for any of the sound effects. You can create real-time DSP chains and model sounds. So all the bullets and the cannons and everything, that could be real-time model sounds with programmatic interface. So you can slightly alter all the sounds for every bullet that whizzes over a head of a person or anything like that. So it's never the same audio. And it would just definitely heighten realism. Now, I would like to explain a little bit about Super Collider 3. Again, mostly it runs on OS X. But there's ports of the server and the lang to Linux, and there's also the ability to create third-party clients, and that's what Scream is. With Super Collider 3, it's split up into... God. Okay, I got through very little of my presentation, but we'll go to the demo, actually.
I'm using the window, which is a I've taken a very geometric approach. I don't have a surround system at my home. You know, I God, yeah, this is also really cool. Not only can you, like, create the... Like, you have control over, like, the time of the graph. You can draw partial graphs on all of these generators. You can draw them partially. Let me get some sound in here. So that's going to be, like, randomly jumping around. I mean, maybe it's, you know, normally... I'm slowing down the random jumps. Oh, yeah, user-defined path, you draw whatever you want. Stop the audio just so it doesn't jitter. I'm going to launch the AmbiGranny sampler, and you can run multiple modules. The Scream framework, it's an engine. It's not like one application. Underneath it, it runs an accurate clock scheduler that works for all the modules that are loading, executing at once. Scream is running over the network. I'm running OS 10 here. That's running SuperCollider. You can see this is all the spatialization data that's going over the network right now. It's not MIDI, it's network speed, and you're using a network protocol that SuperCollider follows. And this is floating point data, not like limited, 7-bit MIDI data, 0 to 128, 127. So you can have accurate resolution. So for the panning, it's super smooth. Especially, it's great when you have the speaker set up right. Okay. I don't know how to control the jitter. This is the Granny sampler. Dang it. You can set random speeds, random offsets. Now, these are people saying, "Welcome to the fucking rave," in like 7 different languages. Sorry.
They're saying... This is people saying, "Welcome to the fucking rave," in 7 different languages. I did a live performance. This would be a live... This would...
I don't know why. It's on. Yeah. Okay.
I use this to do a live performance, and actually, it's all this stuff's up on my website.
I know, but oh well. I mean, they can't hear me talk, so.
This is the AmbiGranny sampler, so you can send any of this stuff on trajectories, and I want to hear what this sounds like. I haven't heard this yet. Hopefully it's cool. Jitter hell. God. I'm not overloading anything, as far as I know. So, it's too bad. Let's see. Oh, cool. One of my MIDI devices works, so I can trigger it from here. I can also... The really neat thing is I'm running the MIDI device into Nuendo, which is basically an audio MIDI recorder, so I can set it up for record. Over here, select this track. You can play back. You can play back anything into Scream. You can record the MIDI samplers or the MIDI triggering data, and it's going from the MIDI device into Nuendo using a bridge over to Scream. and then sending network data across the SuperCollider on the Mac and triggering the samples. let's see. Oh, yeah. Not only do you have to have, like, the positional data... God. There's the loop, and the MIDI's getting triggered again. You don't have to follow the trajectories. You can use that information. I've created, like, the Spirograph plugin. You basically can, like, linear interpolate between, you know, two points on the graph, and, you know, you can control that however you want. the next, like, plugin for the positional plugins, I'm going to be making, like, a chain. I'm going to use ODE to model a chain that can basically, you could have as many points in the chain and space between the points, and it'll be connected here, and it'll be swinging around off the geometry, basically. Here's the crazy thing. I mentioned, like, you know, going up to, like, second and third order ambisonics and doing it in a 3D context. All of this, I'm moving to OpenGL, and I'm going to be creating 3D versions of this. And... Can't hear. I'm going to be creating a 3D version of this where you could put in 3D geometry and then do all the morphing and all that stuff all in real time on a 3D sound, like a full 3D sound system. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the granular aspect is like putting the release, putting everything down really small. And I'm going to go back and... So you can see, instead of like a larger sound, like a larger... So now you have just like little tiny bits of that audio sample. And when you have six of these going, all spatialized, it's quite something.
Are we out of time? Pretty much.
Yeah. I believe we're going to go to Q&A now.
Well, I was going to ask that you've essentially got, you know, six channels here, and you have the effects. They're basically being treated as spatially. Now, I'm wondering if you've got the potential to have effects that run, have basically bounces stuff around the speakers. Have a delay, for example, that bounces from one speaker to the other. I mean, do you have that within the framework? So you're essentially taking temporal data and converting it to spatial data. That's what I'm asking.
Right, right. The actual spatialization, I unfortunately didn't get to show it. It's only a little block of code in SuperCollider. You can add a delay. In SuperCollider, you can create in the interface, you could set it up so you would have like be able to trigger it basically. You could set the time and all that kind of stuff. So when an event came in, you could have a delay on the same trajectory, basically. You could have it following behind on the trajectory.
Yeah, so the next step from that, I guess, is to make the delay reactive to the audio that's going into it and perhaps have a delay that works differently at different frequency ranges so that you've got...
Right, like a spectral delay. You can do FFT processing in SuperCollider, and that's definitely possible.
Oh. Well, very, very cool.
Awesome.
Questions? Any questions?
Okay, so I have no experience in this space, so I don't have much frame of reference. I can see that this is extremely cool, but I'm not sure which parts of it are completely innovative. Can you outline that?
Yeah, I didn't get to that part in my presentation. Right now, I probably have the most advanced interface to use with SuperCollider 3. Right now, like, their GUI, it's really bad. It's worse than GDK or any of the other, you know, whatever, any of the other GUIs that people are using, WX Windows, whatever. I'm over the net. It's like UI over networks. It's component-oriented real-time audio synthesis design and creating an interface for that. There's nobody doing real-time audio in a component-oriented fashion using a programmatic real-time audio engine. So there's nobody out in industry, and there's even nobody in the academic community that, as far as I am, to creating a framework that works with this engine. So yeah, I'm trying to get a commercial application for it. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. All right, here. Mm-hmm. You said that you don't have a 6-channel setup at home. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious if this is all of your hardware and what your development environment's like.
That's my development environment right there. I have these. I own these two speakers in the back. How I'm able to test it is I can see the control data that I'm sending to SuperCollider, and I also can see on the digital meters, you know, the spatialization that's actually happening. Plus, I set it up twice and it works. Didn't have a lot of time to set up and test here though today.
Mm-hmm. Can this software be used to process B format recordings off a sound field microphone?
For a sound, like a multi-point, like sound field microphone, or
right,
what?
A sound field microphone that has the four capsules that the
right.
tetrahedron.
That's actually how you do ambisonic recording.
Right. So can mm-hmm. this software be used to construct synthetic microphone pairs and create a 5.1?
Right.
Are most of the tools already available to do that, or does it require a lot of hacking at this point?
Well, you could, like, as far as like the spatialization and ambisonics, you know, you could have n-channel. N number of speakers set up. It's an encoded and decoded format. What I did with that DJ setup, for instance, is it had 4-channel outputs, and you're able to place that 4-channel points in the 8-channel field. So you could take individual points and even, say, take one sound, say a guitar, and split that into 2 signals and place it. Binaural audio, maybe people may not be familiar with it, but it's where you could have headphones, and that's what they call 3D audio on all the Sound Blaster cards, EAX and all that kind of stuff. You can put your headphones on, and it's going to kind of fake, like do a fake 3D surround. All the ambisonic stuff's like that on a multi-channel system where you can model a center head, and then you can place things, and it sounds really realistic. But yeah, you would use a mic, and you could also do it synthetically.
So one of the, parts of this that I'm kind of barely familiar with and that really impresses me is this spatialization. And you mentioned that you're thinking about putting this in as part of a multimedia platform with real physics and AI and that kind of thing. Can you speak to like the current state in game development? I mean, has anyone done cool things with this? Has anyone done much of anything? Is this on their radar? That kind of stuff.
Nobody has used SuperCollider for game development. Everybody that is using the environment is sticking to the SuperCollider language, which is pretty limited. As far as games that are coming out with physics engines and stuff tied with audio, I think like IO, people that make Hitman, and a couple other companies that are in that category, they have some smart guys there, and they're doing physics-based audio engines, but that's more tied into like a C++ library. This is completely open. And it's a full real-time audio system. So I would be building, like the physics part would be on the Java side, and I would be coordinating that with the real-time audio engine. So it's neat because it's a lot more open than probably a proprietary system that would be built for one game or something like that.
I got a good sense from the demo of how you use it to make cool noise, but I didn't get a good sense of if you have a goal, I need to create this effect for this, movie I'm making or whatever. Can you say just a little bit about how the GUI is laid out or how you might use this to achieve a specific kind of a result?
Yeah, if I was over at the computer, I could switch back to showing the programming language and how you actually connect,
you connect what's called unit generators together, which are like fundamental building blocks of audio DSP. Say a sine oscillator would be a unit generator. A filter could be another one. You would be able to connect these together in a graph to create sounds. You have buffers, so you can fill sample data up in SuperCollider, but then you can manipulate that sample data. Yeah, I wish I only got through like a quarter of the presentation. I was going to go over some of this stuff. So,
One last question.
I have a more basic question. You use Java for real-time audio stuff. Do you have any GC problems in that?
Yeah, I was going to go over that in the rest of the presentation as well. If you don't tune the garbage collector, it sucks. You got to tune it. You can tune it. You can optimize it for the way you know objects are created and destroyed in your program. The way the garbage collector works in Java is that it has Eden space, a survivor space, and a more tenured space. If you like, I'm doing pseudo active rendering right now, so I'm still using the Java repaint system. It unfortunately creates a new rectangle every time it has to draw the screen. I'm going to be going to active rendering pretty soon. But so a lot of objects are generated and are transient and are being destroyed. But if you set that Eden space to really small, and there's some new garbage collectors in 1.4, different algorithms you can use, it works. It's there's no real noticeable garbage collection that happens. So you have to tune the garbage collector.
Thank you.